Welcome to Siemens PLM podcast series on smart manufacturing, brought to you by the Siemens Thought Leadership team. The landscape of industrial machinery and manufacturing is seeing an innovative overhaul of technological advancements. It's a daunting task to validate and manage modern manufacturing and assembly operations to achieve a premium level of quality while optimizing costs. Today, in our first podcast in this series, we're discussing how machinery manufacturers are gaining a competitive edge by implementing smart manufacturing. We'll cover how machine manufacturers are maximizing profits and the industry trends driving the adoption of this innovative technology. So I'm pleased to introduce my special guest, Bill Davis, who is the Director of Industrial Machinery and Heavy Equipment Solutions at Siemens.
Thanks for having me here on the podcast. I appreciate the opportunity to speak.
Before we dive into the topic, I just thought it'd be really cool if you could just tell us a little bit of your career, your background, and also maybe your education background.
My background and experience from industrial machinery and heavy equipment spans 30 years. I started off my career as an engineer working on high-speed machinery and equipment and progressed through the ranks in management and extending into operations, and always have been a driver of the CAD, PLM, PDM, the digital enterprise, the digital thread that we talk about so much today. And I've always been part of the driving force behind implementing those at companies. So in the course of my experience, I've gained a lot of skills with regards to CAD and PDM, as well as operations management. And so the topic today that we're going to be talking about is very near and dear to my heart in smart manufacturing. Educationally, my background is I have a mechanical engineering degree, bachelor's of science degree from Milwaukee School of Engineering, with a master's in business administration from Marquette University, specializing in operations management and strategic marketing.
Wonderful. Within that 30-year span of your career, how long have you been focused on smart manufacturing?
For about 20 years of the 30 years I've been an engineer, I've been either the liaison between engineering and operations, or I've had direct operations management experience. And so throughout the course of that time, I've seen this movement toward a digital twin, and been able to leverage that into what is now being called smart manufacturing.
So in diving into the topic of smart manufacturing, let's start kind of at a 40,000-foot level and just define what smart manufacturing is.
So if we talk about a product that we know and love, which is our cell phones, and we think about what it takes to manufacture that particular device, we can start to see how smart manufacturing really plays a role from a product perspective. The cell phone has a number of different components. Each one of them have engineering requirements, and they have content that needs to be manufactured by someone. And often there are regulations and rules and requirements, both that are being specified by the manufacturer, and they're also being put on them by the industry itself, in the case of the cell phone with the FCC. What smart manufacturing does is it says, hey, there's a digital twin of this particular cell phone device, but that only tells you a small portion of it. What we want to do is we want to extract the information and drive it into manufacturing operations, for example, CNC programming or inspection processes, and really drive assembly processes as well, and push that information back up into the digital twin so that we have what we could call an executable digital twin of that cell phone. That's at the product level. Now, if we start talking about machinery, the machinery that we use, that we supply to those cell phone manufacturers and many other industries, our customers are asking for us to provide some additional content, sensors, and feedback about how the production and manufacturing process is being executed so that we can leverage that back into the digital twin. So a quick example would be that if the housing for your cell phone is being machined on a CNC machine, the file needs to be generated from the CAD file, and then it gets saved as a manufactured CAM file. But once it's done, we want to know that that particular housing is correct. So there is an inspection process that is going on. And if we're making the machine tool, what we want to do is we want to drive that back into the inspection data that we can get from our machine tool back into the digital twin of that cell phone. So now we've got traceability from the design to manufacturing and a closed loop process that really gives us that whole digital twin. So we'll be focusing more about industrial machinery in this process, but you know it's important to look at how the digital twin of the product and the digital twin of the machine that makes it, how they're all linked together.
So in focusing more on what Siemens PLM is doing as far as their unique position in the market, what ways are they implementing smart manufacturing into companies, into manufacturers?
So as you know, Siemens is a very large corporation and one of the largest in the world. We're kind of in a unique position in the software side, as well as what Siemens does more broadly in what we call Siemens AG. They're one of the largest manufacturing companies on the planet. And of course, they're always looking for ways to optimize their manufacturing processes and squeeze more profit out of every process that they execute. So they provide a good test bed for our manufacturing operations and execution management software solution. The second point is that Siemens has been a leading provider of industrial automation for a number of years, and you know, today they're the largest industrial automation supplier in the world. So they really understand how technology needs to be integrated into machinery. We've used their products in my experience in the past, and so they provide a very high level, high quality function in our industrial automation process. And so by manufacturing those components for us, they really understand what our needs are from a machinery development perspective and what I need to do and what I need to execute to stay ahead of the competition. So if you put those together, we are really realistically, Siemens is the only provider of what we could call the executable digital twin. So we have the software to realize every step in the manufacturing process from the creation of the idea, what we're making from a machinery, how we're going to be executing it, all the way through manufacturing and extending that into service life. That background is really important for a machine builder, because it allows machine manufacturers and designers to create more value, both in the driving down costs and compressing delivery schedules. But it also allows us to innovate faster by closing the loop between manufacturing operations and engineering.
A very comprehensive solution.
Absolutely.
In looking at just the trends in this industry, how do you see Siemens with the machine trends and aligning that with smart manufacturing? What is the process for that?
Good question. So my background is obviously industrial machinery primarily, although I've spent some time in heavy equipment as well. And there's some overarching themes and trends that we've been seeing in machinery development over the last several years, and they kind of circulate around these four topic areas that I want to spend a little bit time talking about. One is connected. We want to have our customers expect that our machines are going to be communicating with the other machinery in the plant. They're going to be communicating with their overarching operating system. And they're also going to be communicating with me as the machine OEM. What we've seen is that machines have become a lot more connected in recent past. The second trend is what we call adaptability. It starts to get a little bit of science fiction-ish, but realistically, it's how quickly can the machine modify its existing operating parameters and then react to changing conditions. So on its surface, changing from one bottle size or one cell phone to another is a push-button affair. What's happening today is that with a lot of the information and sensors and capabilities that are out there, is that that machine can actually recognize that upstream products and processes have changed and make changes to its own operating condition. It's the beginning of what I would call artificial intelligence for machinery, but it's really spawned by the fact that you've got all these sensors and the capability there, and the fact that customers are expecting these machines to be far more flexible than in days gone by. The third factor is predictability. With all of these different operating conditions and unpredictable customer environments, I would call, what we're kind of seeing is that, you know, an increasing emphasis needs to be put on the simulation and the predictability of how that machine is going to perform in the field. And it's getting more complex with higher speeds, with greater use cases and more complexity that is in the machinery. It's getting a lot harder to be able to simulate all the aspects of the machine. So predictability is definitely a factor. And then the last thing that we want to trend that we're seeing is extendability. What we want to do is we want to continue to provide customer value as a provider of machinery. So I'm speaking as a machine builder now, but I want to take my machine and extend its life through the customer facility, through its entire lifespan. And from a financial perspective, if I can be more connected to that machine throughout its life, I can create more value for my customer and be able to actually change some of the dynamics behind the cash flow and extend the life of that machine through predictive maintenance, through adaptive performance. And this is all really becoming more important as this experienced workforce shrinks. You know, in the past, you had more experienced machine operators that could tweak the machine and make it continue to operate in the field. And that experience is just disappearing. Those people are retiring from the workforce. And so having the OEM or the machine builder be more engaged with the customer throughout that machine life is a value proposition for the customer that is definitely worth some value and something that can really change the financial perspective of a customer.
In going back to what you said about extending the life of a machine, how are you seeing trends changing in the way a customer purchases a machine? Is that changing? Are they spending more? Are they upgrading? Do you see any kind of dynamic change there?
Well, all of the above, Blake. On one hand, what happens is that, you know, historically, a company buys a machine from you, and the machine operates throughout a certain lifespan, and then you change the product, or they change the product rather, and now the machine doesn't work for it, so they either have to buy something from you to adapt that machine to fit the new product, or they have to replace it. And so what we're seeing is that the machine complexity is incorporating a lot of that changing conditions, because from a customer perspective, what they're seeing is shorter production runs. And so they need a machine that's more adaptable to those kind of conditions. The other thing that's happening is that customers are less willing to invest vast sums of money on machinery when they could do what I guess what we would call a production as a service option, which allows that customer then to buy machine capacity. That's the dynamic that's emerging in the machinery market. It's kind of a taking off from some of the equipment manufacturers and heavy equipment where you're leasing machines. The difference is you're paying for performance. So if that machine isn't running, you're not paying for it. So the machine builder, the OEM, has a vested interest to make sure that machine is up and running all the time. And so if it's not meeting the production requirements, it needs service or anything like that, then the OEM is responsible, then financially responsible, to help make sure that they rectify any of those performance problems, any downtime issues, address anything as quickly as possible, because that way they can restore their cash flow.
That's great information, Bill. And I want to thank you once again for joining us in this first podcast in our series on smart manufacturing and its competitive advantage. And we're definitely looking forward to having you on future podcasts. Once again, thank you.